Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute, and we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
Romans 5:19-20. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We thank you for this word today. We ask you, God, for your anointing to be on this preached word, that as it goes forward today, dear God, that it might glorify your name and edify this body, that they might be brought into the throne room of grace, dear Lord, before your presence, that we might seek your face today, together today, dear God, and might experience the outpouring of the Spirit upon the house. In the blessed and holy and righteous name of Jesus, we thank you and pray. And everybody said, amen. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The Lord has been dealing with me about this service. I have wrote this same sermon three times. So I'm going to be obedient to the Lord today. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Hallelujah. Title of my message today is The Cross of Pentecost. He gave that service to me Monday. He gave me that title Monday. Hallelujah. But I stand up here in front of y'all, and I got to deal with people knowing this and people knowing that and people thinking they know this and people thinking they know that. Hello. But today, my heart is stirred. I remember the day before the Lord saved me. I was a vile, wicked sinner. And I gloried in it. I enjoyed it. There was people, when I was living in Fuquay Varina, and that's when things got the worst for me. I had moved out of my parents' home, and I moved in with a couple of roommates in Fuquay Varina. I had lived there a total of 2 years, and in that 2 years' time, I gained a reputation. Daddies would not let their daughters go out with me. I had become known as the town drunk. I used to drink. I would drink a fifth every night before I went to bed. And then I'd get up in the morning, and my breakfast was a cold beer. I'm talking about in February. At 5 o'clock in the morning on my way to work. And in the back seat of my car, I had a six-pack. You know what it was for? Lunch. And every day at lunch, I'd go out to my car and I'd drink that six-pack. And I'd go right back to work in a factory. And I'd go home, and I would start drinking with my roommates. And I'd start drinking with the friends we made. We had parties at our house every night. I would wake up in the morning to go to work and find 10 or 11 people stretched out in our little two-bedroom mobile home asleep, and I didn't know who in the world they were. They had passed out there from the parties the night before. And I just didn't, I didn't care. I didn't know who they were. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Things were getting so bad. Things got terrible. And one day the Lord called me. I was driving down the road on the way home from Sunday night service, because I come home on the weekends to let Mama do my laundry. And I would eat a meal at Mama's house on Sunday morning, or Sunday afternoon after church. But she wouldn't do my laundry until Sunday night after church. And I couldn't eat Sunday dinner without going to church on Sunday morning. And I didn't get laundry if I didn't go to church Sunday night. So I went to church on Sunday morning, come home and stuck my feet under Mama's table and ate. Then I went to church Sunday night, and then she'd come back and she'd done my laundry, and I drove home. One of them nights on the way home, a voice come out of the back seat of my car. And he said, "I want you to preach to young people." It freaked me out. I stopped the car, and I looked back in the back seat. There wasn't nobody there. I started driving again, and I heard it again. I pulled over, and I got out, and I opened the back door and looked to see if anybody was laying in the floorboard. And I stood there, and I looked around, and I thought, am I going crazy? And then I heard it a third time. He said, "I want you to preach to young people." And then it suddenly dawned on me. And I said, "God?" And he said, "I want you to preach and minister to young people." And right then I decided, well, if I'm going to do that, I might better get saved. So that next Sunday morning, they started revival with Farrell Hardison at the Kinley Church of God. And I went back, and I went to church with Mama that Sunday morning. And I sat on the back row. You know how folks like to sit on the back row? Oh, yeah. Some folks like to sit on the back row because they don't want any attention drawn to themselves. Right. Most young people like to sit on the back row because they can get away with murder back there. Hallelujah. And I was sitting on the back row, and that preacher, they were singing, and I had my hands on gripping that front pew. My knuckles was white. I was squeezing it so hard. And I kept thinking, will they get done with this? Get done with this. And the preacher finally got up there and started preaching, and I kept thinking, will he please shut up and give that altar call? I got to go pray. I didn't know what I was doing. All I knew was people got saved by going down to the altar at the end of the Sunday message. At the end of that message, I was thinking, like, thank God. And I went down to that altar of prayer, and I gave my heart to Jesus. I asked him into my heart to forgive me of my sin. Hallelujah. I realized that the cross of Calvary had brought me my salvation. My Lord, my Master, my Creator, my Savior had taken himself out of the fullness of God and had come down to become a man, and he had been crucified upon that cross. Hallelujah. And died cruelly and heinously for me. Now, a lot of churches, they harp on the cross. And you know what? It's a good thing. But a lot of these churches that harp on the cross, they don't take it any further. They don't go for the next 50 days and talk about those things. Amen. They don't talk about the book of Acts. They especially don't talk about the second chapter of Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered together in one place in one accord. And there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And cloven tongues like as a fire sat upon each of them, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I glory in the cross. I had a conversation with my father-in-law back when I think me and Renee were still dating. And in those days, when you were dating a girl, her daddy required your time at his house to do physical labor and chores. That man liked to have worked me to death. He had me wiring telephone lines all over his house, crawling under the house, crawling up through the attic, crawling on the roof. I didn't know the first thing about hooking up telephone lines. But I learned, I figured it out, and I got his telephones to working for him. He had a phone in every room then. I was digging ditches, I was laying drain pipes, I was pouring or shoveling gravel. You wouldn't believe the things this man had me doing. But I enjoyed that because during that time, I got to spend time with James Blackburn. He was a pastor. And you know what we did? We talked about the Bible. We talked about the Lord. And I had always read that the cross was a cursed thing. I didn't understand what that meant. And I told him, I said, I don't understand why we sing songs about the cross. The cross is a hideous, heinous, ugly thing. The cross, even the Bible says it's an accursed thing. And he said, you're missing the point. I said, what point am I missing? He said, it's the cross. It's the cross where Jesus died and washed away all your sin. It's the cross to where he made it possible for you to enter into the throne room. He made it possible for you to pass through the veil. He made it possible for you to receive salvation and redemption of sin. And the more he talked, the more excited about it I got. And he started singing, the old rugged cross on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I suddenly realized why we need to glory in the cross. Because the cross is where we got victory. Now that is where the nominal mainstream denominations stop. And I'm going to tell you something, saints. Did you know that the Church of God as a denomination, we're a Pentecostal denomination? Were you aware of that? We believe in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit that come from the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We believe in the fullness and the indwelling of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost subsequent to the new birth and subsequent to redemption of sin. We believe that the power of the Holy Ghost will enter into a body, enter into a person once their sins have been pushed under the blood. Now you got to know something. The Holy Ghost will not dwell in an unclean spirit, in an unclean body. He won't. But the Holy Ghost brings power. There's a lot of churches. I have been preaching youth camps, camp meetings, revivals, crusades all over the United States for a lot of years. I have seen pastors and state overseers and state youth directors. When the Holy Ghost starts moving, do y'all know what it's like? It just happened here a few weeks ago. The power of the Holy Ghost fell during the service, and we didn't get to preach. Y'all remember that? Amen. People rejoice in that. Oh, it was a good service today. There weren't even any preaching. Well, a lot of pastors don't like that. They don't like to hear that. Well, it was a great service because you didn't get to preach. They take it the wrong way. I got something to tell you. When the Holy Ghost takes over, he's doing the preaching, and he's doing it on a one-on-one level. He's doing it to everybody severally as they will, as they need. He's doing the work, and he can do the work a whole lot better than I can. But I have seen pastors, state overseers, and state youth directors shut down the move of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost would fall. People would start falling in the altars, the power of the Lord moving, and they would stand up and start preaching and start talking and shut it down so that they could get to the preaching. I've seen it happen recently. I was in a youth camp where the power of the Holy Ghost fell, and there was children laying in the altars, and the Lord dealing with them, the Lord blessing them, the Lord delivering them, the Lord saving them. And state youth directors come up and get the staff. There'll be people laying, standing around, kneeling down, laying hands on those children laying on the floor, and they would get the staff and pick up those children and take them outside the sanctuary. Put them up on a stairwell, or put them in a closet, or put them in a classroom, and let them finish their worship there because they had a schedule to keep. Let me tell you something, saints of God. If the Holy Ghost ever falls in here, I don't even think anymore that it's my service. I don't even think anymore I got any control. I don't even want any control. If the Holy Ghost falls in here, I want to give it to him. I want him to have it anyway because he does a better job at it than I do. But if we just stop at the cross, and there's nothing wrong with the preaching of the cross. There's nothing wrong with it. As a matter of fact, the cross should be preached. Because it was the cross. It was at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. Hallelujah. And there by grace I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. We as Christians don't need to stop at just the salvation. When I think of where I was, and I just got through telling y'all where I was before I got saved. That night that morning, I fell in the altar of prayer. And I gave my heart to the Lord, and I invited him into my heart, and I asked him to forgive my sins. Can I tell y'all, before that happened, the Lord would convict me of my sin. I knew about him. I just had not received him. He would convict me. I was an alcoholic. And I can remember weeks on end where every time I put a bottle of alcohol to my lips, every time I got right there and I would stop, and in my heart it would say, the Holy Ghost don't want you to do that. Jesus don't want you to do that. And I would barrel through and do it anyway. I wasn't saved yet. There was nights when I would lay down in my bed to go to sleep. It'd be 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning. And I would be terrified to close my eyes. I would be terrified because I knew that if Jesus Christ came back while I was asleep, I'd wake up the next morning to my mom and daddy being gone, and all my loved ones and friends being gone, and I'd be stuck there to suffer the tribulation, and it terrified me every night. And I prayed every night before I went to sleep. I said, Lord Jesus, please don't come tonight. I was miserable. I don't understand why Pentecostals don't want to be Pentecostals anymore. I don't understand why we try to get away from the power of God. I don't understand why we try to get away from the emotional response to God.
Well, brother, that's emotionalism. There ain't no place for emotionalism in church.
I got news to tell you something. That's wrong. That's wrong. When I think about the cross, I remember where I was and where I was headed. When I think about the cross, I remember the hell that I heard preached all the time, and thinking I was going there. And when I think about the cross, now I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll never see hell. I'm going to part on the portals of glory on the streets of gold. Hallelujah! I got something to tell you. When I think about the cross now, I get excited. When I think about the cross now, the power and the glory of the Holy Ghost wells up within me, and I glorify Him, and I praise Him, and every now and then I just do a little dance for Him. Hallelujah. He shows up in my office while I'm praying, and glory, His glory just showers me. How do we get away from that? Why are there churches, Pentecostal churches, Pentecostal denominations, that want to get away from that and be more like the mainstream churches? Why? Because they want to be like those mainstream churches that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. My Bible tells me, from such turn away. Saints of God, you belong to a Pentecostal church. And if you can think about the fact that He has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're now going to miss hell because of what He did for you, because of His great love for you, think about that for a minute. We being little tiny specks, not even a dust speck in this universe. Our entire planet is not even a dust speck in this universe. And the God and the author and creator of this universe looks on your heart, looks on my heart, and loves me enough that He took a part of Himself out and left heaven, the glory and palatial abode of heaven, and came down to earth as a baby into a pauper family, and grew up as every one of us did, and for 33 years never once committed sin. And knowing that His whole life was leading to one thing, His absolute torture and heinous murder, all knowing that He was doing it to wash away my sin. Say this with me: wash away my sin. He came to, if you can think about that and not get emotional, I got to tell you something. Worship is an emotional response to the glory of God. Worship is an emotional response to the fact that your name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Worship is an emotional response to the power and the glory of the Holy Ghost indwelling in your soul and lighting up your soul. Worship and praise is an emotional response to the glory and power of God in the Holy Ghost. If you can think about these things and not praise Him, not get excited, I've got real concerns about your salvation. It used to be, before I got saved, I would go to Mama Hurricane Hazel's church, and I would watch them folks run and dance and shout and speak in tongues and clap their hands and dance all over the place and flop on the floor like a fish. And I sat there in them same services where they was doing this, and I sat there and I looked at them. I said, there ain't no way that this boring mess can make people feel that good. There ain't no way that they could get that excited about what's happening in this place until the night that the Lord saved me. The night the Lord saved me, suddenly I had a real knowledge. I had a sudden real revelation in my heart and soul, because the night the Lord saved me, I got emotional. I got excited. I got to moving and dancing and praising God. and blessed the Lord the night that I got the Holy Ghost. I came down to the altar specifically to receive the Holy Ghost. I didn't know how, didn't know what I was doing. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. I was worshiping, tears streaming down my face. And suddenly, after about 45 minutes, I stood up, still crying. And I didn't know what in the world was happening. And my little pastor, Donnie Anderson, I hope he's watching. My little pastor, he come up and he put his arms around me and hugged me. And when he did, I don't remember anything else until later on that night. I got up and went to work the next morning, drove back to Fuquay, went to work the next morning. And one of the ladies that worked there was a Pentecostal Christian. And she had been attending that revival. And she said, "Brother Mac, praise God, you got the Holy Ghost last night." I said, "What?" She said, "Yes, you were speaking in tongues and you was getting excited." I said, "I did." Oh, she said, "Oh, you don't remember?" I said, "I don't remember nothing after getting up and that man hugging me." She said, "Oh, you're like this." She said, when he hugged you, you started shouting and speaking in tongues and you got excited and you grabbed that little man and swung him around in circles and swung him around like a rag doll. And when you put him down, he got away from you and went and sat down. Because I was glorying. Yes, that's right. I was glorying in the cross. Hallelujah. And there's been so many times since then when I think about the Lord. I think about the things that He did for me. I think about the power of the Holy Ghost that runs through me. And the same thing happens all over again. I will get up. And y'all can't, you know, we was telling somebody yesterday at the street ministry, y'all don't know when I'm dancing. Y'all don't know when I'm running. I have literally run in the Holy Ghost up here and y'all didn't know it. Because when I run, you can't tell the difference between me running and me walking. And when I dance in the Holy Ghost, I don't get up. I just, that's all there is to it. Because I don't, this is a whole lot of Mac to be jumping up and down and throwing across the room. But when I feel the power of God and I realize what He's done for me, I realize He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I realize that He saved my soul. I'll be living in heaven. I realize that He gave me my wife. He gave me my children. He gave me that grandbaby. He gave me this church. These people, He gave me the love that goes in and out and back and forth between us in this house. When I think about His love, I can't do nothing but dance. I get Pentecostal. Some of y'all, I love you. Some of y'all need to remember where He brought you from. Some of y'all need to remember who it is that you were. Who it is that you are, and who it is that loves you. And you need to forget. Some people just, "Well, I'm not going to act like that, Brother Mac, because that's not dignified." You're going to let your dignity stand between you and worship of God? You need to forget that dignity, because that dignity will take you to hell. You need to give yourself completely and freely over to Him. You need to give yourself to Him and let the power of the Holy Ghost move through you. You need to let the power of the Holy Ghost move your feet. You need to let the power of the Holy Ghost lift your hands, clap your hands, shout your praise. You need to let go of your dignity and receive the power of the Lord and worship in it. Because when you let go of that dignity, when you allow the Holy Ghost to move through you, you will experience a new freedom in the power of God in your salvation than you have ever known. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I invite you this morning to come up to this altar and to enter into the throne room. Does anybody want to get in here with God? Does anybody want to get in here where He's at? Hallelujah! Everybody show us your right hand. Repeat after Savannah.
Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God.
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God.
You died on the cross for my sins.
I know you died on the cross for my sins.
Raised again on the third day.
You were raised again on the third day.
Come in my heart, forgive me, Jesus.
Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus.
Make me a new Christian.
Make me a new Christian.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license A20958803, a Streaming Plus license A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road, just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night, Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m., and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m., or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.